Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sometimes I know I talk fast, so sometimes I think I just like get even a little bit too far ahead of myself, which I'm used to talking faster, but I think sometimes I just like get a little too overzealous. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's what happened there. Coming up, guys, the Celtics have been struggling of late, and we know the Cavs play at 3:30. So we do want to get into that here in just a second, just talking about like how much more enticing that maybe makes a potential trade given how the Celtics have played. But I thought Matt was good, and I thought he had some good stuff to say, Jake, just on the quarterback front for the Browns and, you know, whether or not it's replicable to do what the Commanders did and how he basically alluded to the idea that, like, it's not that easy. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of my bottom line is – it's nice to look at the Commanders and say it can happen, and I'm not saying that they should have, you know, they shouldn't try to do that, but I also think, like, again, each year the quarterback classes are so different, and the idea that you're just going to nail that quarterback and get the next Jaden Daniels is obviously a little bit of pie in the sky.
Well, yeah, but part of the thing I pulled away from Matt there was it's not that easy because of where the Commanders are, right? Like, they're in an NFC championship game, Spencer. They are one of the four teams left standing in the NFL. I'm not asking the Browns to be one of the four teams left standing in the NFL in 2025. I'd like you to be there by like 26, 27. That'd be if you could get there.
Or at least by the time the new stadium's being
Yeah, like if we're playing in the ground, if we're playing in the ground under a roof, it'd be nice that you could at least do something for me. But no, like I think that's part of it too is – The Commanders are taking this and running with it and taking it to a degree that nobody expected them to. I don't need the Browns to do that. I need the Browns to identify a quarterback that looks good and that I can bank on being here for more than 3 years.
Yeah. I do think the other thing you alluded to, though, is like if you pick the wrong quarterback, well, then that sets you back like 3 or 4 years. And then we're doing the same exact thing that they've been doing for, you know, decades, trying to find that right guy. So it's an interesting thread, or it's an interesting needle you're trying to thread here if you're the Browns, and we know it's not going to be that simple. I do think your point on what the expectations are is an interesting thing that we should explore a little bit later, because we asked it. He asked us, actually, like, you talking a quarterback away from the Super Bowl or a quarterback away from the playoffs? And we said playoffs. Is that the bar? Is that what people sort of, where people are going to set the expectation for next year? So something we'll circle back to. But as we said, Jake, Cavaliers coming up here in about 20 minutes. They're at home over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse against the Suns. For some reason, I feel like this game every year is like the coldest day of the year. And there's always a Cavs game on it. Like, I remember a couple years ago, or maybe it was last year, there was a year where they played Brooklyn on, I think, MLK Day. And it must have been a couple years ago, because I think it was when Kyrie was with Brooklyn. And that game was like freezing cold and snowing, and it was like miserable weather. I remember it vividly. So I don't know what it is about MLK Day, but there's always some crazy-ass weather on MLK Day when there's a Cavs game going on. But, Jake, I think this is kind of a mad dash these next 2 weeks to the trade deadline. And we know there's been some rumors about the Cavs kind of sniffing around some players, most notably Cam Johnson from Brooklyn. I'm also looking, though, at the Celtics, who have struggled of late. They're 5-4 since the start of the year, and 3-4 in their last 7 games. Now, Joe Mazzulla's downplayed it and said, like, they're not worried. And I still do believe, like, yeah, Boston can play with anybody in this league. We know that. We saw that last year. But to their struggles, even though the Cavs are still playing good basketball, still winning games, all that, do their struggles make it even more enticing to potentially make a move? Because it does feel like there's an even larger window of opportunity, knowing that the Celtics might not be the same exact Celtics from a year ago, and they might maybe be a little more susceptible to getting beat this year.
I don't know that Boston changes anything for me.
Okay.
I don't know that anything that Boston does right now or how Boston feels changes how I go about what I want to do with my team. The only thing that I think changes a little bit is I'm sitting here listening to Kenny Atkinson tell me, Well, you know, yeah, those wings, they give us problems, right? Athletic wing gives us a problem. I'm like, well, Boston has two of those, and you're likely to see them in the playoffs. So that's the only thing that has me going, yeah, now I might make a trade. Now might be the time. Like, I think I'm to the point, like, more inclined to make a trade. I think I am pretty much at the bar of, no, let's make a trade. But, yeah, I don't know that Boston's on-the-court play is changing anything for me, unless you're telling me they're dropping out of the playoffs.
It's, I mean, it's probably the whole flip-the-switch thing with them, right? Like, that, yeah. we're familiar with that here in Cleveland because that's, what, I mean, notoriously, during the LeBron era, that was the thing. The Cavs would kind of coast through the regular season, and then they'd get closer to the playoffs, and they would flip that switch. And we kind of know the Celtics are a team that can flip the switch. That's probably, I think, what you're alluding to there is like, Boston is still Boston. I know if you get them in the playoffs, you're going to get their best shot. And I agree with you. Maybe that does make it more of a reason why you should make a deal at the deadline. I just think what's so fascinating about this is like, and I think you and I have both kind of toyed with this, because there is something to be said for like not disrupting the chemistry, especially on a small team like a basketball team. There's only, you know, 12 to 15 guys. This isn't like an NFL locker room. So you really don't want to mess with those vibes, the good juju, quote unquote, if things are going well. And if you're pulling somebody out or putting somebody in, you have to know that they're going to kind of mesh well. And so I toil with that every single day. But then I just think about like the opportunity that's in front of you and the fact that, yeah, you have a legitimate shot at chasing a title. And if you think that this move is going to make you better and make you less susceptible to the long wing teams like the Boston Celtics, maybe you do pull the trigger. But I don't know like what the right answer is sitting here today. And I do think these next couple weeks have to kind of become part of that evaluation to truly know what they should do.
I just think if you're sitting there as the Cavs right now and you decide, as my phone just topples onto the floor.
I was like, but, did you lose something there?
Yeah, no, don't need that. We'll leave that for the end of the segment. No, but like as you go through and you think about how your team is built right now and how you're going to make it through the playoffs, at some point, running 11 guys deep does not work, right? Like, I'd love if that was a playoff strategy. For most teams, that's just not the case. Because guess what? When Jason Tatum is playing 40 minutes a game.
Well, I think you're already seeing some of the remnants of that, right? Because like a guy like Isaac Okoro was shooting like 40% from three to start the season. He hurt his shoulder. Now he's suddenly reverted back to sort of the mean for him. And then like the same thing kind of applies to somebody like Dean Wade, right? And Sam Merrill's been struggling from outside right now. And if he's not making shots, he's going to fall out of the rotation anyway. So I think to your point, like, yeah, you're kind of seeing some of these role players not play up to what they were early in the season. And so because of that, can they actually stay in Kenny Atkinson's rotation?
Right. And when you get to the playoffs, yeah, like 40 minutes of Jason Tatum can't get matched with 10 minutes of every guy off the bench. And then 30 minutes of Donovan Mitchell. Like you need Donovan Mitchell in there for 35 plus to be able to rival the scoring. Like you have to cut down the rotation. So I'm going to be saving vibes in the locker room for the idea that I have to keep Sam Merrill around or Isaac Okoro, who, if they keep playing again the way that they are, might not even be playing every day anyway. And when we get to the playoffs, certainly some of those guys are not going to be playing night in and night out because you can't go 10, 11 deep. And even if they are playing night in and night out, it's not like they can be playing for 25 minutes. They're going to be barely in the game. And again, I would rather have a pick me a Cam Johnson, make the contracts work, get a trade that makes it work. Give me Cam Johnson, who's going to be the guy 35 minutes a game in the starting rotation.
We will keep this conversation going because I think I have a point here on, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but it almost feels like the Cavs are vibe proof. Maybe not totally, like if you brought the wrong person in here, like, you know, a Jimmy Butler who could throw things off completely. Yeah, like that's not what you want. I'm not saying they're going after Jimmy Butler. He's not really a fit for what they want to do anyway. But
we're like, getting Joel Embiid.
I mean,
media ropes are a problem and you can't play back to backs.
That's true. Anyway, but I do almost feel like this team can almost be immune to a trade that's adding a player, and I'll explain why coming back, on top of the fact why I think like you got to have a little bit of LeBron in you if you're going to, given where this team is at right now. We'll talk about it. We'll get your calls on it, 216-474-992, on Twitter at SpenceC2 underscore, at Volnick Jake as well. We are keeping things rolling on this MLK Day here on 92 Through the Fan. We are talking Cavs at the moment because we want to know if the Celtics' recent struggles have sort of made your eyes grow a little wider as you look ahead to like, oh, this team could be beaten. I think Jake is right. I think there's a flip the switch sort of mentality and thought process with that team because they're just so good and you know they're going to give you their A game no matter what, especially once they get to the playoffs. And once you win a championship, there always is a little bit, I think, of coasting that goes on, especially during regular season. But as we talk about whether or not they should make a trade at the deadline, I do think, Jake, and I've been thinking about this more the last couple of days, like, in some respects, I wonder if this team is almost immune to, like, vibes being thrown off. What I mean by that is, like, yes, I'm not saying you insert the most, like, problematic person and just completely disrupt vibes in the locker room. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think, like, Donovan Mitchell, since he's gotten here, seems like one of the most down-to-earth star players in the NBA that there is. And he truly does seem like he gets along with pretty much everybody on the team. He really is a good leader in terms of like staying sort of even keel, not getting too high, not getting too low. We talk so much about that specific thing with Donovan Mitchell. And he sets the tone for this group. I also think the other guys are like younger, right? Like they're still sort of finding their own footing. Evan Mobley's still kind of finding his voice. That they will all kind of be respectful of, you know, where they're all kind of at different points. I don't think, yeah, I mean, Cam Johnson and Jared Allen didn't cross paths in Brooklyn, I don't believe. So, like, there's not like that connection there. But Jared Allen's so easy to get along with too. Like, I think that the personalities you have on this team make it so, yeah, like you might trade somebody that they're close with, but you bring in the right person. And if that was Cam Johnson, great. I think they would do whatever it took to kind of make that work. And you don't, I think we're almost making too big of a deal out of the chemistry thing. I think these players understand it's part of the business. Sometimes rosters change and stuff like that. I'm not saying they just need to go out and like sell the farm and trade off pieces and whatever and blow it all up in the sense of like, we don't care about any of this. Like you do have to kind of balance some of that. But I don't think it's going to be so detrimental if you were to trade like Caris LeVert and somebody else and a couple first round picks or a bunch of picks for Cam Johnson. Like I think you would still have enough intact here, especially with the guys of the core four, that you could figure it out. Now that's the thing that might piss off Donovan Mitchell. Like if you go trade Darius Garland out from under his nose or something like that, that might ruffle feathers. But Donovan Mitchell committed to you, and so you kind of owe it to him as the star player on this team to have a little bit of that LeBron mentality of like, okay, yeah, we're good, but can we put this team even further over the top and make like build a true championship team around Donovan Mitchell and make us ourselves like that much better and use this window to the max? Because you know if LeBron was here, no matter what the record was, he would be pushing for more moves to be made. So it's almost like making yourself have that mentality because you know Mitchell's not going to do that. But they kind of owe it to him and they owe it to the organization to try.
The vibes thing is so overrated because, of course, the vibes are high right now.
Yeah, Spencer, they're winning.
They're 36-6 or whatever the hell they are. Like, that is insane. Like, yes, winning cures all. And not to mention, they're still sort of in this honeymoon phase. Like, you need to see this team not have high vibes. Go look at last year. I mean, they won a playoff series and vibes weren't high.
Yeah.
Like, they were. It's one of the most like mellowed out teams I've ever seen. I mean, they literally looked like, for lack of better terms, like drugged.
Yeah.
Like they looked like they were just out of it entirely. Every time they walked into a press conference, I never saw everybody cracking jokes and smiling. When Kenny Atkinson gets here, though, and things are new and things are fresh, and then you start winning games, yeah, it smiles all around. Everybody's all about the vibes, and things are going well. I'm just not sure that necessarily, you know, holds up once you stop winning. And how do you stop winning? You sit there, you get complacent, and you don't make a trade. And you don't try to get better on a team that is already fundamentally built on, like, an error. It is built on an error. There are, like, eight wings without having a true number one. Like, you do not have a true athletic wing, yet you have, like, six of them in the building. It is impossible to actually have this team compete and be that great when push comes to shove, when you actually go up against teams in the playoffs, when they, you know, those teams that sort of turn it up a notch, because the Cavs, you imagine, already turned up to 9 or 10. Hey, how much more do they have? These other teams have another level. And like the Boston Celtics, I don't think you get that same just sort of like easy walkthrough that you're getting on a lot of these teams.
Well, and I do think the Cavs have another level, but it's so contingent on those role players performing to a higher level of expectation than probably what they actually have. And that was the case early in the season. But as some of these guys have regressed back to the mean, I don't know. And to your other point, like those guys are depending on, are they going to even play in the playoffs? Because is your rotation going to be 10, 11 deep when you get to the postseason? That's the big question. But I do think Kenny Atkinson, who you mentioned, is the other key component of my thought here on them being almost like immune to messing up the vibes. Because last year, I don't know that there was a lot of trust left in J.B. Bickerstaff. That's part of the reason why you win a playoff series and vibes still weren't really great and some things were said and whatever. Like, and why he ends up fired, right? I think vibes are a little shaky. Kenny right now, he has cachet through the roof. First of all, because he's new. Second of all, because what he's done at this point has worked masterfully. So if he walks in and goes to Kobe Altman's office and he's like, listen, I like our team. If we're staying pat, I can deal with that. I can make it work. We're going to be great. But if we get Cam Johnson, I think this team can turn it up to even another notch. I think like everybody would be bought in, and I think he'd be able to make it work because everybody trusts Kenny Atkinson right now to make whatever they have in front of them work because that's how brilliant he's been as a coach. So that's the other part of this for me is like I think Kenny's as much as Donovan's a big part of it and his ability to be very amenable and just the type of personality that he is. I think Kenny Atkinson and what he's brought to this team and the cachet that he has right now and the trust that he has right now is another reason why I don't feel panicked if they were to make a move and quote-unquote ruin the chemistry that's already here.
No, Kenny definitely is that. If you want me to take a bet, I would probably say that Kenny's already walked into Kobe Altman's office and probably had that conversation. I don't know if it's about Cam Johnson, but definitely about getting this team an athletic wing.
Can we get somebody to ask him that post game? Hey, have you walked into Kobe Altman's office and asked him if
we can spice things up?
We should trade. We should make a trade at the deadline.
Like, I mean, if he's coming out and saying it in press conferences, like, yeah, I agree. Athletic wings give us a problem. Like, he knows those are all around the NBA, right? Like, the best teams in the NBA all have those. You weren't even playing nearly the best one. We were playing Lou Dort. Okay, like, no disrespect to Lou Dort. He's a good player. He lit us up. But, like, he's not the stars of the NBA. It's not like you're playing, I guess Giannis wouldn't really be a wing. But, like, you're not playing, I mean, for the clear examples, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, you're playing Lou Dort. It is a much different scenario than having to play those two guys. And if you're just willing to openly admit that saying, hey, the strength of our greatest rival this season is our biggest weakness, you think he hasn't walked into Kobe's office and been like, hey, you think we should want to, I don't know, at least try to counter one of these guys? I think he probably has already had that conversation. And if, you know, publicly, maybe that's just a little like nudge to Kobe of like, I told you, like, we need one. Here you go. Here's my little like public comment towards that.
Let's go to the phones. BP and Pepper Pike always wants to talk Cavs with us. What's up, BP?
What's going on, BP?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. What's up?
Good show. No, you know, I would definitely love to see the Cavs, you know, take a big swing at Cam Johnson. I think he would put us over the top. I still, like you guys just mentioned, the Celtics have been struggling. They're like, you know, basically 5-5 over the last 10 games. You know, they've lost to some pretty curious teams. Like, they've lost to Toronto, you know, the Hawks, you know, some bad at home even. So they can be had. You know, yeah, we were embarrassed by Oklahoma City, but that's going to happen in an 82-game season. And, you know, Shai Gilgeous, Alexander's on a roll. So if the Cavs could get Cam Johnson, I do not mind. I would like to part with Isaac Okoro, you know, and Dean Wade, maybe Jalen Tyson, you know, some combination of two or three guys because they're not going to play all these guys anyways. They're like you said, and we've all said, they're not going to play 10 or 11 guys in the playoffs. They're going to shorten this thing down to 8 or 9 guys. Well, give me Cam Johnson in that rotation, and I think we could win it all. I really do. And I think, just like Ohio State tonight, I was going to say, you guys are the sons of the shoe. So, you know, you guys can, you know, a winner when you see one. I think Ohio State's going to win tonight, and I think if the Cavs can make one more tweak, they can win it all in June.
I like the thought process there, BP. I think that's well said. Yeah, listen, he throws out some of the names there. Like, obviously, you wish it was as simple as, like, yeah, let's just package a bunch of these role players together and get Cam Johnson. There's going to be more involved. You're going to have to give up at least a first-round pick. I saw there was a report yesterday that, like, Brooklyn really wants, like, multiple first-round picks. I don't even know if the Cavs can give up multiple yet. I think they can only give up their 2031 one right now.
I'm pretty sure,
the
yeah.
rest are tied up with Donovan Mitchell, the Donovan Mitchell trade. But, yeah, like, those are the names that are going to come to mind. Caris LeVert's on an expiring contract. And, you know, you're going to have to figure out the money situation anyway this offseason. But I'm starting to come around more and more to the idea because I just think we've talked so much the last couple weeks about vibes and messing them up. I agree with you. I think it's an overrated subject at this point.
Yeah, like, we just – it keeps getting hit on and hit on. And I think people are using it as a, like – A tool to be complacent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a tool to be complacent. Hey, this team's good. Don't make any changes. It's literally the Guardians. It is the Guardians of last year being like, ah, oh, they're great at the deadline. Don't be, don't sit there and make a move. And I'm sitting there saying, hey, make a move. Please. Like, we need pitching. Make a move. And everyone's like, ah, loser mentality. Be happy they're doing good.
Yeah, no. That was me at the deadline. I said the Guardians should have done something more.
And then you get to the playoffs, and guess what? You don't have starting pitching.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm mad that I even had the stance about vibes in the first place. Well, I'm glad I'm walking this back. Because I can't sit there for one team and be like, ah, oh, no, you can't mess with the vibes. And then for the other team, be like, make a trade, damn it. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, I'm with you. This entire thing has gotten blown out of proportion. I think this team can make it work with whatever trade were to happen. I don't think they're going to sit there and, like, cry and then start to stink because Caris LeVert gets traded at the deadline. And that's no offense to Caris LeVert. I like Caris LeVert. He's clearly a good he's clearly a good fit in the locker room. All those guys get along. But if you can make this team better, I think that they would be bought into that because Donovan Mitchell says it all the time. Like, he's never going to be held in a certain esteem until he goes deeper in the playoffs. This would be a move to help you go deeper in the playoffs.
Being good is not a reason to not make a trade, period.
Yeah. I agree. I'm coming around to that idea more and more, and I'm glad that today I had a chance to have Jake as my therapist to sort of walk me through this. Because now I have so much clarity now. It all makes so much more sense than it did before. We'll continue this in a minute. Anthony in Cleveland, we'll get to you. Also coming up, Jake realized that when it comes to being sick, he is still a child. We'll explain in about 5 or 6 minutes from now. It's Spencer German. It's Jake Volnick with you on The Fan. Jake Volnick, Spencer German with you. We were talking Cavs moments ago as the game just tipped off. 7-7 ball game here out of the gate over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Appreciate you guys jumping on in with us to talk about the and we'll go here to the phones real quick because Chris in Chicago wanted to talk about the Cavs. Chris, what's up, man?
Good on, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You know what? I think if you're going to get rid of some pieces, I'm okay with getting rid of LeVert and Okoro, and then whatever the package would have to be with draft picks. I like Dean Wade, and, you know, for, like, stats dorks like me, whenever Dean Wade is in a game, he's always positive on the plus minus. I mean, literally everybody.
He's a really good defender, Chris, yeah.
He really is, and you've got other guys. If you got, like, Cam Johnson, I don't know, though, like, what are your thoughts? I mean, could you package in a Okoro and a LeVert? You'd still have to get rid of some first rounders, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. I think what's interesting, I honestly think, here's the thing. If you're going to end up pulling a trade-off, I think somebody like Jalen Tyson is going to end up having to be part of a deal. Because Brooklyn either wants young players that they can, you know, build with towards the future with, or picks. And so if you're the Cavs, you only have so many picks you can offer. Like we said, I think they can only offer the 2023 or 2031, rather. That'd be interesting if they could go back in time and offer a pick. The 2031 pick, okay.
Well, if they can offer the, I think, 2023 first-round pick, that'd be good because I don't think we had one. So that would be great.
If you could, though, like, or if you're offering the 2031 pick, then you have to throw in stuff that's going to entice them to sort of take your offer over other teams that can offer more from the pick standpoint. So somebody like Jalen Tyson has to be part of it. Maybe somebody like Amani Bates would have to be part of it because they want people who are like young talents that could turn into something. Maybe you'd have to give up Sam Merrill because he's like this younger, sharp-shooting player that if you can get him into like a nice sort of rhythm, maybe he can be something for you. So I get where like that becomes cumbersome. Then you're giving up more players than maybe you want to. The salaries obviously have to match as well. But yeah, like to me, I think the vibes are what you make them. And I think that this team can largely overcome that because you have Donovan Mitchell as a leader of this team here, who is as even keel and as it comes. And he has been so open in like everything with the guys that he already has on his team. And they've gotten close just in this short period of time anyway. Like, I don't think it would throw everything off, especially like you said, Jake. And I think this is one of the more brilliant points on this subject. You're not running 10-11 deep anyway in the playoffs. So if you got to give some of those guys up to get a frontline guy who can contribute to you 30-plus minutes a night, especially in the postseason, I think it's probably worth doing it.
Yeah, I would think it has to be. The packaging multiple guys, though, does kind of make sense to me. Even if you say, like, you feel like Jalen Tyson has to be a part of it, I almost feel like Isaac Okoro is that guy, though. He, like, substitutes in for a Jalen Tyson. They're only separated by like a year worth of age, Spencer. I mean, it's close to two, but like Okoro's 23 right now, and 22 is the age for Jalen Tyson. Like they are not far apart. Like they are literally the same age practically. So and Okoro just signed a brand new contract. Right? He's getting paid $10 million. You have, I think, at least 3 years of control with him if you trade him. Like
LeVert's is $14 million. So if he's part of the deal, that gets you... I know Cam Johnson, because I was looking at this the other day, his is like 20. So you're already like, part of the way there. So then you got to figure out like what else kind of lines up and fits into that. I don't have Sam Merrill's off the top of my head. But yeah, like I think there's ways to make it work. But I think it probably would take a package of players because, like I said, you're throwing in a couple young guys that they feel like they could build with on top of whatever picks you have to offer. And that's just kind of the situation the Cavs are in because they can't offer you two or three first-round picks because theirs are all tied up right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll play Trade Builder with you for like a quarter of a second. It is literally...
I always love Trade Builder.
Okoro, you trade them Caris LeVert for the idea that they just get to dump the cap at the end of the year and then they have all that money sitting there, right? You know, like they eat up the cap right now and then it's free next year that they can go sign somebody. And then you throw in, you know, a couple of picks. You get a young player cap just to throw out the window next year and picks to go along with it. And you get rid of what is, I think, $22 million on the contract of Cam Johnson. And I think Okoro's is like $16 million. And, or Okoro's is $10 and Caris LeVert's is like $16. So it works money-wise.
Yeah, I mean, you can make it work. But again, the sides have to agree. Brooklyn has to want what you want, what you have. There's a lot of factors in play here. But I think I'm done pointing to the vibe thing and using that as my reason not to make a trade. Let's go to Todd at War 1 here real quick. What's up, Todd? What's
going on, Todd?
Yo, Brooklyn's not giving that dude up. It's a nice dream, but no, it ain't going to happen. They can't afford to trade out anybody that they don't have. They're going to have to improve within and maybe bring up somebody from the charge who I'm not keeping up with, but I bet y'all know somebody. Is there somebody that could bring up from the charge?
Todd, let me ask you honestly, though. How many times has somebody that like a team brings up from the G League, middle of the season or whatever, like how many times is that person actually like an impactful player on a championship team?
It has been a minuscule amount, but I know this. That team is so good right now, and they're in so much need of every single person on that team right now that to give up somebody in place of just improving within or finding some stroke of luck in the G League is Brooklyn's not giving that dude up. Not for Okoro. That's not going to happen. So I'm like,
I think they're going to give him up. It's just a matter of if they're going to give him up to the Cavs and what the Cavs have.
That's what I'm talking about to the Cavs. Why would they give him to the Cavs? I want to see him win the championship just like anybody else that's a fan, but that they got to improve with them, man. Unless they could just find some serious rebounder that nobody is aware of. That's all they got coming, man.
All right, Todd, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, no, listen, I go ahead.
I kind of hate that the idea that like any of these guys are irreplaceable. I despise that. You would bring in Cam Johnson to be putting in the production that two of these guys are putting in. You're playing like whack-a-mole at small forward right now. You're just taking a stab and a guess and trying to play matchups the entire time. No, how about you have a guy that is like matchup proof? Cam Johnson is matchup proof. He can guard pretty much 1 through 4, 2 through 4 on the lineup, right? He'll handle anybody you put at the 3 spot, and offensively, he's a nightmare.
I've loved Cam Johnson for a while now for this team, so I'm totally into this. Here's what I'll say. I give Kobe Altman a lot of credit because in today's NBA, the hardest thing you can do is run it back and be like, we think we can still win with this group. Like that nowadays, you only get a short amount of time to like see these things through. And usually teams are trying to change quickly. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're trying to evolve and they're not just staying the same. And so I give them credit for that. But now that you have a team that's playing to this level, now the hardest thing to do is to pull the trigger on something that changes that up. So I get that. I get like he's in a situation yet again where he's going to have to make a tough decision. If they decide to stay in Pat, which is what I think they probably will do, I guess I got to respect it. But I do think there's something to the idea that, you know, if you go all in here, Celtics maybe struggling a little bit, showing you there's some cracks, even though you know they're going to turn it on in the playoffs, fine. I don't know, man. Like, I the more and more the season draws on and I look around, the more I'm intrigued by adding somebody like Cam Johnson, who, like you said, is a fit for any matchup. And the other part of this, too, is, like, you haven't played the Knicks much yet. When you did play them, they were still sort of figuring things out themselves. The Knicks are, I think, the other big threat to the Cavs in the East. And that team, what did they do this offseason? They went and got, like, every single wing that they could possibly get. That's the same thing the Cavs got. Like, the Cavs have to realize that that might be a mismatch come postseason time if they don't have wings to match the wings of a team like the Knicks. So this kind of gets you back in that matchup a little bit better, I think, or in back in the ball game with that team. Not saying they're going to be completely overmatched as is. I'm just saying, like, there is something to be said for that's the thing that everyone else around you is doing. So why not try to join the club?
Why do you think the Knicks did that?
Because they know what wins in the league right now.
And they know what the Celtics have and what they have to go through in the East in order to get it done. How do you beat a wing? Get a wing. That's the only way to do it.
To use the Guardians analogy, like you brought up earlier, like how we were both with the deadline saying, like, they need to do more. I would hate to get to the playoffs and this team lose in, like, the second round or something to the Knicks or whatever and have to sit there and be like, well, if they had traded for Cam Johnson, they would have had a chance. Like, I would hate to have that feeling. I'd rather they trade for Cam Johnson and be like, all right, if they lose, they gave it their best shot. Because I can tell you right now, like, if they lose the Knicks with Cam Johnson, I don't think they were going to beat him with Caris LeVert, Jalen Tyson, like guys were throwing out there that would have to be part of this trade off the bench. So
yeah, you're not going to sit there and go, man, I just wish we had a volume shooter who could bring in and randomly either shoot 10 for 10 or 1 for 10 off the bench.
Although this fan base also just wanted the more Lamar Stevens a couple years ago in the playoffs because they thought that was going to be the difference between being the Knicks too. So who knows? 216-474-0092. When we get back, Jake found out that he's a child when it comes to being sick. And this Ryan Day redemption story, maybe the greatest one we've ever seen in sports. We'll talk about it coming up next. We'll get back into the Browns in a little bit as well. Spencer German and Jake Volnick with you on The Fan.